And very in like a Babe Ruth fashion, I pointed to Jamie in the crowd and I said, I'm going to win this tournament, and when I win it, I'm going to give you my chef jacket. That's what I did. At the end, I took off my jacket and put it on him and lifted him over my head. That was quite a moment. And, I mean, his mother was, you know, crying like a baby. My mother actually was there. She was crying, you know. I mean, it was an amazing moment.
The following interview with Steve Lieber is a fascinating story about pizza. Steve talks about how he learned the business, how he perfected his pizza, and how he won the Best Pizza in the United States award. This is an incredible interview. I know that you're going to get a lot out of it. This interview is sponsored by the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. You can claim a copy of the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book at legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook. That's legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook. This is Albert Grande saying, pizza on earth, goodwill to all.
Hi, this is Albert Grande from PizzaTherapy.com and LegendsOfPizza.com. I have Steve Lieber on the phone. Steve is the Director of Operations for Coal Mine Pizza in Boca Raton, Florida, as well as Rack's Italian Bistro and Market in North Miami Beach. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Albert.
Steve, you got quite a pizza story for me. Can you tell me how you started to get interested in pizza?
I've been in the restaurant business a long time, and then one of my friends named Bob Amonte has a pizza place in Deerfield Beach, and about 10 years ago, he needed some help, and I started as a server there and learned to work my way up to be an assistant manager with Bob, and that was my first introduction to the pizza business. Bob's Pizza has been there 32 years in Deerfield Beach, a mom-and-pop operation from Sicily. Bobby was from the Bronx, so they make a great New York street slice, and they make a fantastic Sicilian pie, you know, Sicilian corner. They're great with both of those, yeah.
Can you describe that kind of pizza?
What I call a New York street slice is a nice big 16 to 18 inch pie with a nice wide crust but a thin pizza crust, using most of the time grande cheese, of course, one of the best cheeses for the East Coast of the United States, a light canned tomato sauce, very simple. That was what they used for their round American street slice or New York street slice. They're Sicilian, a little bit thicker. They let it rise for about an hour and a half to 2 hours to make a nice crust. Then they would par-bake it, put tomato sauce on it, top it with cheese, put it back in the oven to build a nice cracker, crunchy crust, and a nice thick corner crunch. That was the style of pizza, handmade. I learned from Papa Nunzio, which was Bobby's father, and then I learned from Bob, who was in the pizza business since age 16.
So you started making a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, actually, I started learning more about Italian food and a little bit about the pizza business. I started to put my hands on dough. I was still fumbling a little bit. I was just getting my hands into the dough, and I was just getting used to the procedure. I enjoyed it, but I certainly wasn't great at it at the beginning, you know, or even good at it at the beginning. It was a little frustrating to me. I have a couple of pies stick to the peel or stick to the oven or pop a hole in it. So it was frustrating at the beginning. But after time, I started to get the hang of it a little bit, yeah.
How were you stretching the dough?
We were hand-stretching it, just pushing our fingers down, making it a round circle, flipping it over. Then as we patted it down, we would spin a little bit and just keep between a spin for two or three spins and then stretch it with a finger spread wide.
What kind of flour were you using for this?
I believe most of the time we were using the gold medal All Trumps, very, you know, American, well-refined flour. Now looking back on it, I think it was low-protein flour.
So you got some flour on your shirt there. And what was your next experience with pizza?
I started working at a restaurant called Shore Restaurant and Beach Bar. It was owned by David Monero, a famous restaurateur. And then the next concept that he was developing after Shore was an Italian Enoteca concept with a co-loving called Vic and Angelo's. He brought me on as the general manager there, and again, I moved up pretty quickly there and became director of operations and was running Vic and Angelo's and Shore, and then we finally did a second Vic and Angelo's as well. So it was a big opportunity for me to learn about marketing pizza, and I learned a lot about the coal oven pizza and the history. I started to study pizza history at that time because of the coal oven and the connection to the first pizzerias and the fact that I'm born in Brooklyn. I became enthralled in the whole pizza history, starting with Gennaro Lombardi and John Stasso and Totono's at Coney Island. I really started to model my restaurant after Totono's in Coney Island. I felt that the coal oven tradition and the tradition of the pizza man and the artisanal skill of those pizza man needed to have a renaissance, and that's why we chose a coal oven. You know, certainly a lot easier to use gas oven or gas assist or even some of the great new electrics that come out of Italy now. But I felt it was more important to go with the tradition of coal. It's a lot messier. It's a lot more time-consuming. But the product that we were getting out of it was just phenomenal. And then as I started to study more about the coal oven and when I started to talk to some of the other pizza experts, because after I had one coal oven, I was thinking about switching to wood and I wasn't sure. I didn't know which was better. I didn't know the difference between wood or coal or gas or anything like that. So then I consulted with Tony Gimignani, and he said that if you're doing coal and you know how to make a great pizza with it, that there's really not a lot of coal ovens in the whole United States. I think only 13 states allow coal ovens in the first place, and I believe that there's under 50 active coal oven pizzerias in the whole country that I know of right now. So it was a very unique product. And then as we studied it and as we mastered the coal oven, and you don't never really master it because the fire changes every day and she can be really, really hot or not so hot and different things on different days. But when you really appreciate the coal oven, the type of pies and the crunch of the crust that you can get out of there are outstanding because of the high temperature.
How long does it take to cook a pizza in a coal oven?
For a 12-inch pie, you can really probably get one out in about 2 minutes to 3 minutes, depending on the day.
So we're talking really fast. These pizzas are coming right in and out.
If you put it on a hot spot in the oven, you really have to pay constant attention. We only have one pizza man working the oven at a time. He'll probably position it a little bit away from the fire if he's preparing a second pie while the first one's in the oven to avoid burning. But if you're just one pizza man and you put it right in the hot spot and turn your back in 20, 30 seconds, you could overcook one side of the pie.
So what was your next step as you're working toward being a pizza master?
When I left Vic and Angelo's, I got picked up by Gary Rack and Gary Rack Restaurant Management at Coal Mine Pizza in Boca Raton. And as I was in Coal Mine Pizza one day, I started having a little bit more time to start picking up pizza industry periodicals. I started looking at Pizza Today and PMQ, and I actually looked at pizzatherapy.com on the website and looked at a couple of pizza blogs, and I became more interested in that. And I read in Pizza Today magazine that there was this big show in Las Vegas. I was sitting there reading, and I was getting into the article, and Gary Rack looked over, and he said, you know, what are you reading? And I said, I want to go to Las Vegas. And he goes, what do you want to go to Las Vegas for? And I said, well, I want to meet this guy, Tony Gimignani. I couldn't even say Gimignani at the time. I said, I want to go meet this guy, Tony G, because I couldn't even pronounce his name at the time. And I said, I want to go meet this guy, Tony G, and I want to bring him back to Florida to make pizza. I also want to talk to him and find out if it's better to use a coal oven or a wood oven. So I got to go ask him this question, and I want to bring him back. And, of course, Gary laughed at me and said, yeah, sure, you're going to go to Las Vegas, and you're going to bring back, you know, the greatest pizza maker or one of the greatest pizza makers in the world. And I said, no, I'm going to do it. Sure enough, I bought my airline ticket a day before the show started, and I went to Vegas, and I was at the center, the convention center, and I had my camera, and I'm following Tony G around, as I called him back then. I loved how his chef jackets had all his sponsors on the back, and I'm taking his picture for four hours straight. And finally, he, you know, says, well, you know, what are you doing? And I said, well, I came all the way from Florida, and I really want to meet you and talk to you about pizza. I know you're running this big show and the World Pizza Games, but can we meet after the show? And he said, you know, I'll have 20 minutes on Friday at 3 o'clock. And I met him. We exchanged numbers, and we talked about coal ovens and wood ovens, the difference between them and the uniqueness of the coal oven. And then I convinced him to come to Florida, and then he did. I decided that since he was coming that I was going to throw what I call the first annual World Champion Weekend. What we did is we planned 2 days of him cooking dinner at the restaurant, and he made the pizza that he won the world champion with, the margarita pie. And then we had a children's event with Fire Engine and Bounce House and Magician Show, and Tony taught 200 kids how to toss dough, and they all tossed dough, and he gave lessons. He did a 20-minute performance. Then we auctioned off three pizzas, and we winded up raising for the three pizzas $18,000 for children's charities. We did Andy Roddick's Children's Foundation, the Scott Sapp Arms Wide Open Foundation, and the Sun Sentinel Children's Fund. So we had an amazing time, and Tony came out and wowed everybody and made the greatest pizza that we ever made at Coal Mine Pizza. Then he said, oh, yeah, by the way, 2 weeks from now, I'm having a pizza school at my International School of Pizza. Do you want to come? And I said, wow, I never thought about that. Let me see what my schedule's like, and let me talk to my boss and see what he says. And then 2 weeks later, I was on a plane to California.
This interview is sponsored by the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book. You can claim a copy of the Pizza Therapy Pizza Book at legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook. That's legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook.
And found myself getting picked up at the airport by Tony G.
Wow.
And I had the best 5 or 6 days of my life. I got to work with Tony G. I got to work with Bruno DeFabio. I got to work with John from Avalanche Pizza. But I think between the three of them, there was about 15 or 20 world titles, I think, total. All of a sudden, you know, you're in a class with these guys, and you start to think, wow, let's not embarrass ourselves here. Let's put out some good effort and some great pizza. I think I studied every word of everything they said, from the technical baking side of the business to mixing dough to calculating the temperature of dough management. And I studied and studied and studied and practiced and practiced, and my skills started to pay off. And my pizzas kept getting better and better and better to the point that I wanted to try a competition. Then I went up to the pizza show in Orlando.
That's fantastic. Well, I want to just hop back about Tony's pizza school. Can you tell me a little bit about how was a typical day? What kinds of stuff did you do?
It's a fantastic class. First of all, it's the International School of Pizza, sanctioned in Italy by Enrico Fama, and Tony is a master instructor. You start off each day with a classroom instruction. You read from a book, and there's charts that go along with it. And you start learning very basically about the structure of flour and how much percent starch it is, and the characteristics of flour and the characteristics of yeast, and how yeast likes to eat and what temperatures it likes to eat, and how you can make it active more so that it creates the desired effect of changing the starch into simple sugars, which is basically helping the digestive process of the flour so that the yeast is actually helping make the pizza more digestible. And that was really one of the biggest key points of why Italian pizza and Italian-style pizzas are so much more healthy feeling and healthful feeling to you because of this digestibility by the proper activation of the yeast. I truly believe now, people that say to me, you know, oh, it's not possible to make good pizza in Florida because of the water. That's been a myth for a very, very long time. And I think what happened was is thought that the dough was bad in Florida because of the water, but what really happened was that their dough temperature, the flour, was so high temperature because of the high temperature of room temperature in Florida that once you put it in a Hobart mixer, the temperature of the dough raised above 104 and the yeast completely died, and they would get crust that was always flat, that wasn't digestible, that was 90% starch, and yeah, it would snap like a cracker and still taste okay. But it certainly didn't have digestibility, it certainly wasn't light, it certainly didn't have the crunchiness that it has. It's still crisp, but not digestible. And that was what the myth about Florida water. It wasn't water, it was dough temperature that was causing the problems. In my restaurants now, when we prepare to make dough, we put a bag of flour in the walk-in for a couple of hours to bring it down to a lower temperature. Some days it's so hot in the kitchen we add ice water to the mix. And then, like I said, we monitor the mixing of the dough so that it always stays 75, never more than 80 degrees, you know, 75 or less all the time.
You are bringing up an incredible point, Steve, and I think there is that myth about the water. I mean, I know a lot of people that make pizza across the country, and they'll import water from New York or New Haven because in their idea, they think that the water really makes the pizza. But what you're saying is it's the temperature of the dough and keeping the dough temperature down, correct?
I think that is more crucial in Florida particularly, and of course in all warm water climates. But, I mean, I'm not discounting that. One of the conversations that Tony and I had when he was in Italy last time, he noticed that the water was a little too hard, and he had to soften it because hard meaning that there was too much minerality in it. So he had to use some kind of dough conditioner or something like that. And when he was before the judges, and the judges were asking him a couple of questions to differentiate between the great, you know, they're all great pizza guys at that level, Tony had a discussion and he said, yeah, I noticed that the water was a little hard here in Italy and, you know, I had to soften it a little bit. And he believed that that helped him with the judges. So water can't be discounted 100%, but I think about that whole myth about that it being water. I think I've disproved it by I didn't need to import water. I have imported water from my other restaurant, Vic and Angelo's, and I did bring in water from New York for there. And yes, I made a great pie, but here I also didn't do it on this black truffle pizza that I won the American Championship with, and I think that that kind of proves it since I won it in Orlando, and I made my dough in South Florida, I made my dough in Miami, that and I used Miami water, nothing special. The water wasn't what did it. It was the dough management and the temperature management that did it. I actually won on five-day-old dough. The dough that I was using was 5 days old. I made the dough on Tuesday, and I cooked with it on Saturday morning. Again, it was the temperature all throughout the time was almost always 42 or 44 during most of the time. And then in the last day, I would take out the dough almost 2 to 2.5 hours before I was going to bake just to reactivate the yeast. I changed it a little bit because the room temperature at the convention center was a little cool, so I pulled out the dough almost 3 hours before the competition.
You learned from Tony's Pizza School to make pizza really good, I mean, award-winning pizza. And how did you come to decide to even enter your pizza into the World Pizza Championships?
My boss, because Gary Rack is so competitive, and he always searches for excellence and is in search of ways to motivate and inspire his teams that he works with, we always knew we wanted to go to a championship. So actually, the year before, one of my bakers, a phenomenal pizza man named Walter Ingo, went to the championship. He was too used to the coal oven, and when he went up there, we cooked on a deck oven, and he put a little bit too much cheese and a little bit too much truffle oil the first year. I think we finished around fourth or fifth in the nation, but we lost some points on crust. I didn't think my pizza was economically marketable because of the truffle cost, and I should have broken out the food cost for them, and then I would have scored a little higher. That was the only category I didn't score high in, but my crust scored almost all 10. There was even the dough doctor talked about how I had perfect pore formation. Even in the most thinnest parts of the crust, you could still see perfect pore formation from the yeast, showing that even in all aspects of the dough, it was active.
The dough doctor for some of our listeners is Tom Lehman, who is an expert dough maker, and they call him the dough doctor, correct?
Yes. I was lucky enough, Tom was the supervisor of the whole pizza production area, and for the first day, he was available for everybody to talk about dough and to talk about different things, and he knows the most subtle touches. Tom taught me, just throw a little bit of cornmeal in your deck flour and your to-go pizzas will stay crisper longer. Little hints that a pro at his level could teach you or a pro at Tony Gimignani's level could teach you to make your pizza go from that good level to greatness and legendary and unbelievable pizza.
Tell me about your award-winning pizza. How did that come about?
Well, it's funny. Again, a great story. The other chef that started with Gary Rack made the pizza in honor of Gary because Gary used to go to Italy every couple of years to Alba, Italy for truffle season. I think it starts in late October, early November is when the people actually pick these truffles or have their animals locate them and pick them. And Gary was known because he loves wine from that area also, Barolos and Barbarescos and things. So he would go up there and buy these truffles. And then he came back and he told this chef the story, oh, these truffle, you know, they make truffle pizza and they make truffle scrambled eggs and they make truffle this and truffle that. So the chef started making a white pizza, basically with an Alfredo sauce base, threw on a few chopped green scallions, a little fresh mozzarella cheese, some grated Parmesan, and then the sliced black truffles. And voila, we had the first truffle pie. We liked it, and we thought it was an amazing flavor, and we tried to sell it, but kind of was still too expensive, and we couldn't find truffles economically enough. So the first year, we didn't really sell a lot of them. The second year, we got a little bit more commercial-grade truffles, and were able to get it at a reasonable price. Our price dropped by 60%, so it dropped down to one-third the original price of the pie. I think it started around $140, $150, and went down to $44. Now we sell it for $34 in Miami for a 12-inch pie, and in Boca Raton, they do a 16-inch version also for $60 of the truffle pie, but that's enough for about six or eight people. So what I did is I took that recipe and just practiced and practiced with this great dough management. And some days I did two-day-old dough, and then I tried to do three-day-old dough. And I really was going into the tournament with the expectation three-day was the best for making pies, especially in the coal oven that I was practicing on down here. When I got up to Orlando, I just happened to science, and again, Tony taught me this, how to mark every dough. I had two-day-old dough, three-day-old dough, four-day-old dough, five-day-old dough. I had everything color-coded and marked and temperatures. When I got up there, that I decided these two or three doughs that I had that were 5 days old to win the tournament.
You won the tournament, so you won the 2009 Best Pizza.
I think PMQ Magazine says that I'm now a member of the U.S. pizza team, going to be competing in New York City and in Paris. They have a competition this year. They said that I'm officially the title of America's Best Pizza. That's according to them. Again, I think that there's best pizzas all over the place. I think I'd call Tony's or Chris Bianco's pizzas the best pizzas in America. But the fact that they are calling me the best for a little while makes me feel good. And like I said, it makes me feel that I did the school proper, Tony School, and my boss, Gary Rack, and our company, that I did us all proud, that it was a team effort. It was all done by my whole culinary team back at home practicing with me and making the different doughs and keeping track of the different doughs and working with the Alfredo sauce and chopping the scallions to the exact thickness that I found. And it was really a bunch of us working on it that really got it to the level that made it the championship pie.
A black truffle pizza?
I call it the black truffle pie.
The black truffle pie, the number one pizza.
Called the American Pizza Championships. No, this wasn't the World Championships yet.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. What an honor,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah, it was absolutely super, super fun. One more great thing that happened that's a great part of the story. I have a little fan of mine, a culinary student. His name is Jamie, and he's now 16 years old. Jamie's in a special student program for students at a culinary thing and been in it for two or three years. So I know him since age 14. When he came to Coal Mine Pizza, I've given him a pizza stone to make pizza at his house and given him uniforms and T-shirts with Coal Mine Pizza on it. And sure enough, I went up to the pizza show in Orlando, and Jamie and his mother were at the pizza show going through the crowd and looking. And sure enough, I found them at the competition. And very in like a Babe Ruth fashion, I pointed to Jamie in the crowd and I said, I'm going to win this tournament, and when I win it, I'm going to give you my chef jacket. That's what I did. At the end, I took off my jacket and put it on him and lifted him over my head. That was quite a moment.
Oh, what a story.
I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It really was. It was surreal. I mean, after that, I literally had to, like, go sit down and take a breath and let it sink in that it all really happened.
But it was an emotional moment, and you were able to share that with Jamie, which is fantastic.
And, I mean, his mother was, you know, crying like a baby. My mother actually was there. She was crying, you know. I mean, it was an amazing moment.
Really, what a great story, Steve.
That's well, that's why I called you.
That's a great,
yeah.
Really, what a great story. How about some tips for the home pizza maker? You got some tips?
Yeah, well, number one, I recommend go scientific. And by going scientific, spend $150 and get a digital pizza scale. and spend, you know, $70 and get a digital thermometer and get a clipboard and start keeping track of temperatures. My restaurant, we keep track of the temperature of the flour, the water, the dough while it's processing, the dough in the refrigerator. We track the temperature of the deck of the oven itself every hour to keep track of that. And the more you measure, the more you manage. So the more you measure and the more you manage, the better it gets every single day. Whether it's a minuscule better, it's still better. And that's what the key was for us in our pizza really, really going. I mean, we already had great ingredients. We were buying great cheese. We were buying great tomatoes. We were buying great flour. But we weren't getting the most out of our flour. We weren't getting the most out of our yeast.
What kind of flour do you recommend?
Well, again, I realized when I came back from the pizza school that I was using the wrong flour. When you have a high temperature oven and you have long maturation, you want low protein and something called the W factor that they talk about in Italy. And when I talk to experts about flour and stuff in America, they go, oh, in America, we don't measure the W. We only measure protein content. And then I had to take a chart from an Italian flour company and compare their protein levels to the W number, and found a protein level low enough. That was the W factor that I wanted for my pizza. I think it was 11.5% is what I wanted. That was critically important, getting each different type of oven uses different kinds of flour. If you're using a deck oven, you want to use a higher protein because your pizza is going to sit in the oven a much longer period of time to cook. You need the protein strength of the bonds to sit in the oven, so use a higher protein or an all-purpose flour for a gas deck oven. For coal or wood at high temperature, you want low protein factor. And again, that's one of the reasons why restaurants don't make great pizzas, because they don't even know that there's difference. You're the average pizza guy or the average pizzeria maker, you're buying whatever happens to be the cheapest flour this week, or all-purpose or whatever, and you don't realize that for a dollar more or 50 cents more a bag or whatever, or even the same price or lower price, if you got the right protein factor for your type of oven and for your type of maturation, whether you're doing one day and cooking the same day or 2 or 3 days, is critical.
So you recommend a low-protein flour.
Right. For high temperature and for long maturation, I recommend low-protein and low-W both.
But for the home cook, do you think a high protein flour or high gluten flour?
All-purpose or high protein, yeah, is going to help for situations where you're making the dough and using it the same day and you don't have long maturation at all. It's going to be sitting in the oven for a long period of time. Yeah, you need higher protein or all-purpose for that. Yeah, that would be probably in the 13.5% range, maybe up to 14% protein. Yeah. Now that I won this tournament, I've had 4 requests already to do cooking classes already. So we're going to be doing several cooking classes, all for free in Boca Raton. We have one for retirees called the Cooking Connection. That's at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. Then we have for young professionals that we're doing a pizza and wine cocktail hour, where we're doing a demonstration on making pizza and doing burrata cheese there as well, to 6 o'clock on a Thursday night. And then I'm doing a children's class on Saturdays at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm doing that on alternating weeks so that there's always a cooking class once a week going on. I think that there's a lot of people that are going to start doing that, and I've heard a lot of people, pizza guys, doing that just to get more people in their store. And right now I have several customers that have pizza ovens at their houses that buy dough from me and buy sauce from me and buy cheese from me on a regular basis.
Hey, Steve, great interview, some great stories, some excellent advice. Do you have anything else that you want to say?
Number one, I want to thank you for helping promote the industry. I hope that you and I will stay in touch and that we can. I am planning on doing a couple of crazy events. I want to do a coal oven invitational and invite some, you know, Tony and Bruno and some of the other, and John from Avalanche, some of the other great pizza makers to come down to Florida and see how they do on a coal oven, see who burns it and who hits the home run. And then I'm actually, next summer, I'm going to try to pizza bus tour, try to cook pizza in as many states as I can and collect different unique recipes from each state. Certainly, I would like to have pizza therapy along for the ride on that, like if I could send you video or audio or something.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Really appreciate the passion that you have for the business, and thank you for taking the time for this interview.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
This interview is sponsored by legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook. That's legendsofpizza.com/pizzabook. Also, visit us on the internet at pizzatherapy.com. pizzatherapy.com.